Coming up first, though, Bruce Williamson joins us once more. He was here yesterday from Rail Future, and we had a little disagreement about something, which we're going to hear a little bit of as well. But we're going to continue our row about the fact that the Labour Party have put out some policy in which they say they want to reduce rail fares by about a third for everybody if they become the next government. And they're going to find the money by taking it from the road tax. Yes, it's unbelievable, isn't it? 0344 499 1000. You're listening to me, Mike Graham, right here on the fastest growing radio station in the world. It is Talk Radio.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
So it's very unusual in this business, and particularly on this show, to invite the same guest that we had on yesterday. But we had a bit of a row yesterday, and I felt like Bruce Williamson had a lot more to say. But let's have a listen to what happened yesterday first. The fuel only goes up. I remember quite a long time ago, fuel was down around £1 a litre. It's now about £1.50. That's a 50% increase. Nobody travelling by rail has had their fares increased by 50% in as little as a year. Have they?
I'm not sure I agree
I'm not sure you agree with me.
Well, it's certainly true that fuel duty hasn't gone up.
Doesn't matter, Bruce. That's not the issue. But we haven't got any more time to talk about it because you've been waffling on about Denmark. But never mind. We'll get you back on and we'll have a proper argument because I think there are going to be a lot of motorists not very happy about this particular plan. Now, Bruce, it's very unusual for me to feel in any way bad about the way I talk to people, but I thought I was a little bit sharp with you yesterday, and I thought I should probably forgive you for talking about Denmark, and I should probably give you another chance to try and make your specious argument about how you think that it's a good idea to subsidise rail travel by taxing people in their cars. Welcome back. I hope you appreciate the gesture.
No, I feel honoured and privileged. Like, it's always good fun to talk to you. I like a bit of banter.
No, of course. And you and I have had many good arguments, and yeah. I greatly appreciate the fact that you're such a good sport, to be honest. But I'll tell you what was interesting is after we did speak, there was an awful lot of action on Twitter, as there often is, after the show finished. And a lot of people who were motorists were not happy about the idea that they pay road tax ostensibly to sort of put money towards the upkeep of the roads and all of that. And they don't wish to subsidise what they regarded as some quite wealthy commuters, particularly in the southeast of England, who go to work on the train because they can afford to.
Yeah, but I mean, where do I start? I mean, there's a whole load of arguments about how, you know, rail is taxed unfairly compared to the road network. Now, should we just go back to one of the points I made yesterday? You said that we have the most heavily taxed fuel in the world, you said, and
yeah.
I disputed it. And according to the RAC, the following countries have more expensive fuel than us: Netherlands, Denmark, Greece, Italy, Finland, France, Portugal, and some other sources also include Iceland and
now, when you say they have the more expensive fuel than us, does that mean that they have more expensive fuel actually at the pump? Or
these are pump prices.
Okay.
So currently the Dutch are paying the equivalent of £1.43, and in this country we are paying roughly £1.25.
What?
Yeah.
No, you're not.
I'm
paying about £1.50 where I go.
Well, you must be going to a very expensive place then. But
not
yeah,
really, no. Well, we can get people to tweet us while we're talking, but I don't think it's been down around 120 for quite some time.
Well, that's what the RAC say, you know, and other websites have a similar sort of, you know, figures as well. And the other thing is that the price of fuel, believe it or not, Mike, has actually come down in real terms. Again, if you go to the RAC website, they've got a tracker about the cost of fuel over the years. And 10 years ago, it was 108. And if you factor in inflation, that's equivalent to about £1.45 now, which is more expensive.
Yeah, but that's always a bit tricky, isn't it, when you say in real terms. Here we go. Look, UK prices as of Thursday the 28th of November. Highest, 158.9 pence petrol.
Yeah.
Average, 125.9.
There you go. I'm right.
Lowest 114.9. Well, you're not actually right. What I'm saying is,
it agrees with the RAC figures that I quoted.
Well, you can say the average price is 125.9. But what I can probably tell you is that if you want to look at the average price in London and the South East, I think you'll probably find that it's a lot more expensive.
Yeah, but that's always been the case, isn't
yes,
it? And it's
right.
Similarly on motorway service stations, it's more expensive.
Yes,
as well,
I'm sure. Yeah. But what I'm saying is that, say, for example, where people would be getting the most subsidy on the railway, where most people travel on the railway, which is in and out of London,
yeah.
they will be paying potentially a lot more money on petrol than they will be paying. And also, as somebody pointed out yesterday, when you travel by rail, you buy a ticket. That's it, yeah. Right? When you have a car, you have to pay for the petrol, but that's only a small part. You also have to pay insurance. You also have to pay for the upkeep of the car. You also have to pay for the servicing of the car. You know, there's a lot more extra added on pieces of revenue that you need to find, which are all taxed by the government, right, including the road tax, which is all the way on top of the petrol price, right? So for you to say that in some way it's okay to subsidise the rail fares with the road tax, it's a double whammy on motorists.
Well, I mean, you know, I agree there's all sorts of costs. By the way, did I mention that I'm a motorist myself? You know, I do own a car and I do drive.
No, I get that.
Rabid car banning.
No, that's like people who go, the mad cyclist brigade, who say, oh, I also have a car, you know, but it's, yeah. But I'm in favour of cycling. I just think it's very hard. Listen, I appreciate that you've got your position to defend, and you're more than welcome to make the argument. I just think that it's very difficult to equate owning a car and travelling by train, because one of the reasons people do travel by train is you don't have to worry about parking the car, which costs you money, which is also taxed. You don't have to worry about taxing the car. You know, what I'm saying is that people who travel by train are spending much less money to get around than people who have a car.
Well, it depends how much you travel by either car or train, doesn't it? But I mean, my sort of general point is the unfairness in the taxation. And I know you're putting a case for the motorists, but there are, you know, like I say, if the government freezes fuel duty, I can't see how they can sort of keep a straight face and continue to jack up rail fares. So, you know, you've got this situation where fuel has gone down in real terms and rail prices have gone up in real terms. There's a few other anomalies as well, like, for instance, you know, the Network Rail have to pay business rates on their premises, but, you know, the Department for Highways doesn't pay business rates on motorway junctions.
Well, hang on, the Department for Highways is a government department, isn't it?
Well, so, yeah, effectively, so is Network Rail. But, I mean, you know,
well, it's not, because people are making money out of Network Rail and profiteering from it.
Well, no, because it's state-owned, it's nationalised.
Yeah, but the people who work there are not civil servants, are they?
Well, they are effectively.
Well, effectively is not the same as they are, though. That's like you saying you're effectively a car driver, which of course you are, but it's not your prime thing that you do.
Well, no, it's not. I don't do it for a living. No, granted. But, you know, it's just another example of a cost that's dumped on the rail industry that isn't dumped on the motorist. I mean, and the upkeep of the roads, for instance, is largely done by local authorities who get their revenue not just from cars, but they get from general taxation, from business rates, from central government grants. So pedestrians are paying for the upkeep of the roads. You know, it's a very tangled web, but it's not this sort of black and white picture that, you know, some people present of the motorist being ripped off and everyone else getting an easy ride.
I'm not suggesting that that's the case. However, to then say that you're going to take more money off the motorist and off the road tax to give to the rail passengers, then that surely is kind of unevening the playing field, if you like. I've just been said.
I'd see it as levelling the playing field. I don't think, as I understand it, Labour's proposal isn't to take more revenue. It's to sort of take some revenue that's already been allocated and just reallocate it for rail, so that instead of building roads, they'll be subsidising, for instance, 16-year-olds or under-16s, which, you know, obviously as a rail campaigner, I've got to approve of, really, you know.
Well, I'm looking at a piece of information that's just been sent to me by the European, or it's coming from the European Environment Agency, who are looking at the taxes on fuel, and I've got the United Kingdom at the very top of all EU countries in terms of the price structure for leaded, unleaded, and diesel automotive fuel, right?
Yeah, I'd be interested to see those, because, okay. You know, again, they contradict the RAC's figures and some other figures I've seen.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, you can do lots with different figures, can't you? I'm getting loads of people sending me
statistics. Yeah, yeah.
I'm getting loads of people. I've got somebody called G. McMahon sending me the price for him, 138 where he lives, 134.9 in Mid-Kent, says J-Star. Simon says 120 for petrol, 125 for diesel in my local Tesco's. Right. I'm obviously getting ripped off to the tune of an awful lot of money. Pete says Tesco in Chelmsford is up with 124 for unleaded. I've been paying 125 for as long as I can remember in the Northwest, says Alan. So, you know, the point is that in the end, I think that it's disingenuous for any government to use tax which is collected for a specific purpose, and the road tax is collected for a specific purpose, and then use it for something else.
Well, it isn't. I mean, that's the whole point. It is. I mean, it isn't hypothecated. You know, there's a lot of...
Well, you don't pay road tax unless you drive a car, okay?
Yeah, sure.
So, therefore, you collect road tax from car drivers to make sure that you have enough money to keep the roads in the right state of repair, don't you?
Okay, that'd be fine. But then the other side of the coin is you have to say that roads are only paid for by car tax. And that isn't the case. Roads are paid for by other forms of taxation as well.
Well, like what?
Well, as I just said, you know, general taxation, council tax, business rates, they're all contributing to the maintenance of the road.
Well, we all know that the $40 billion that is collected on the road tax is not spent on the roads, don't we?
Do we? Yeah. I don't know.
I don't think they spend $40 billion on the roads in any given year. I'm pretty sure that's the case.
Right. You may be right.
To divert even more of it, and I'm not saying that's right, I'm saying that's wrong. So to divert even more of it to subsidise, and this is a good point, to subsidise people who can afford to travel by rail on a regular basis, which makes them probably quite wealthy commuter types.
Well, no, I don't.
You're
think
subsidising.
There's all sorts of ordinary people. You know, I mean, London is a brilliant example because you know how dependent London is on a rail network. It just cannot function. You know, because it just could not accommodate that amount of road transport. So, you know, to view as I do the rail network as a sort of an essential part of the economic machine that generates wealth for the country. I think, you know, you have to look at it in those terms as well. And also, if we can persuade more people to travel by train, that leaves the roads less congested, which I think...
Very possibly so. But one of the reasons that many people have given up travelling by train is because there's not enough capacity already. And this is what we keep being told, that why you need HS2 is because there's not enough capacity on the trains for all the people that want to travel on them.
Well, I mean, I wholeheartedly agree with you, but, you know, that means we need more investment in the railways, don't we? We are desperately short of capacity across the network.
Well, surely, as you and I have suggested before then, take all that money they're going to waste on HS2 and put it into the network properly.
I think we shouldn't look at it as an either-or thing. You know, we need extra capacity on sort of north-south axis.
Yes.
We also need capacity on the commuter lines as well, and those less glamorous lines, you know, across the country, you know, cross country route as well is overcrowded. So there's a huge case for investment on all the lines, just not HS2.
Right.
And then there's the environmental argument as well. You know, in your news bulletin, we're talking about, you know, the hottest year on record.
Oh, I'm not responsible for that.
No, of course not. But, well, you are, because you drive a car. You know,
no, I'm not talking about that. No, so I'm not responsible for the news output.
No, of course not. But I'm just saying it's topical.
That wouldn't be news on my station.
We have a climate emergency.
No, we don't. Rubbish.
Yes, we do.
No, we don't. All right, explain to me why it's an emergency.
Because if we do nothing,
Then
the planet is doomed.
Is it? Oh, how have you told you that?
Scientists.
Scientists?
Yes.
And when you say doomed, when you say doomed, Bruce, what do you mean by that?
Well, do I really have to give you a lecture on climate change?
No, you have to tell me where your evidence is that the planet is doomed. That's all I'm asking.
Okay.
Explain your explanation.
There's any number of scientific journals, which are not very rock and roll and probably quite heavy going, that say that, you know, that climate change is real. There's the overwhelming consensus. The science is proven. It's not.
So there's a consensus, in other words, that it's doomed.
And if you allow sea levels to rise, I mean, don't you think if London floods? In fact, I was reading an article just yesterday that says that the Thames Barrier is almost certainly going to fail in the next few years.
Almost certainly. Who says that?
Don't you think that would be quite catastrophic?
Well, it would be catastrophic if we got hit by a Boeing 747. It would also be catastrophic if we got hit by a meteor. But it doesn't mean it's going to happen.
Well, it probably is. That's
probably. Right, yeah, so you've gone from the world being doomed to London probably maybe flooding.
That's just, London probably maybe being flooding is just one example.
Well, that's not science, is it? Science is about measuring evidence and coming up with a theory about why that evidence has happened. There is no evidence that the planet is doomed, I'm sorry.
Well, I just have to disagree with you there.
Well, you can disagree with me all you like, but you don't have any evidence. You haven't given me any.
I do have evidence. Read the scientific journals.
Which ones?
Well, New Scientist would be a start.
Okay.
America,
so in New Scientist, I will find a story that says that London is going to be flooded and that we are doomed.
I'll email you that story.
Do,
if you like. You
please.
Know, and what about, you know, other cities being flooded, farmlands being flooded, making them, unproductive, droughts usually have an effect on food production and make us, you know, make us starve.
Right.
you just add all these factors.
Yeah, but you just, these are not facts, though. These are predictions, right? Which may or may not come true.
They're based on robust science.
Well, listen, all the robust science in 1989 predicted that London would flood in the year 2000 if nothing was done. The United Nations put out their climate change predictions, and they were wrong.
They're not... It doesn't mean you can discredit the whole of science or everything.
I'm not discrediting it. I'm just saying to say that the planet is doomed is rubbish. Yeah. Total nonsense.
No, it's not total nonsense. Mike.
Okay. Well, you can talk to me. Well, when do you think we're going to be doomed by if we don't do anything?
It's going to be a progressive doom.
I see. Progressive doom.
In an instant.
All right. Well, anyway, let's talk about electric cars, because once we have electric cars, presumably, there won't be any road tax to collect, will there?
Well, there will. I mean, it's a growing problem for the government, because as more and more cars go electric, the revenue they get from liquid fuels is going down and down.
That's what I mean.
So there will be a point where they will have to start taxing you for charging your electric cars.
So this idea that we should get electric cars because they'll tax us less is actually nonsense, then. That's the one thing you can predict.
Well, it's nonsense. It's not nonsense in the short term, but long term, yeah, you might be right. Obviously the government wants to encourage electric cars, but like I say, they will be forced in future to tax you for owning an electric car. They might find a way of taxing you less.
To be honest, I'm not worried now about whether they tax me or not, because now that I know that we're all doomed, I'm just not going to pay my tax.
Well, we're not doomed if we do something about it.
Well, if we all get out of our cars and travel by train, the world's not doomed. Is that what you're telling me?
Maybe it wasn't that bad
in the first place, then.
It would contribute to us not being doomed.
I see.
Yeah.
Right, okay. I'm going to have to get you on every day, Bruce, at this rate.
I'd be more than happy, Mike. It's a pleasure.
I'll leave you with this. Fair Fuel UK campaign has tweeted, Mike Graham, only 20% of the fourth largest income streams of the Treasury paid by drivers goes back into roads. So there you go.
Yeah. They're
already using 80% of it on other stuff. I suppose they might as well use the rest of it on the trains.
Yeah, that'd be good, yeah.
There you go. We finally find a solution. Bruce Williamson, thank you very much indeed. He's from the campaign group Rail Future. So, we're all doomed. I'm off, because there's not much point in finishing the show, is there? This is Talk Radio.